I sing the goodness of the Lord that filled the earth with food. He formed the creatures with his word and then pronounced them good. Lord, how thy wonders are displayed.
Stand as we sing.
Come, thou almighty King, help us thy name to sing. Help us to praise, Father, all glorious,
request that we remember this morning one of our brothers over in the sanitarium who is very, very ill. So Brother Altman will please remember him as he leads us in prayer this morning.
O Lord, thou who art indeed the mighty one, the creator of the heavens and the earth, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto. We are so grateful this morning that we have access to the true and the living God through Jesus Christ, our Savior. We come in his name, O Lord. We plead the merits of his atoning blood and pray that the benediction of thy grace, the influence of thy Holy Spirit may be upon us, thy people, at this time. We thank thee, O Lord, for the way in which thou art leading us during these days. We thank thee for the good things which are coming to us from hour to hour. O Lord, help us to give the most earnest heed to the things which we hear, lest we should let them slip and miss the blessing which thou hast for us. Now, as we gather at this hour, we come with some realization of our need, some understanding of thy power and glory, but oh, how inadequate and how needy we still are. Suit to each heart, we pray, the blessing which thou hast for us, and renew the covenant in our experience today. As we come before thee, dear Lord, we would remember not only ourselves, we think of thy believing children the world around, who are thinking of us and praying for us. We ask that thy presence may be sweetly near each one of them today. Bless thy church in every land. Speed on thy work. Overrule in the affairs of earth, and hasten the day when Jesus shall come. And, O Lord, we remember before thee this morning those who are in distress, those who may be suffering persecution, those who may be undergoing privation, who are standing perhaps in places of extreme peril. O Lord, as they look up to thee, as their feeble faith lays hold upon the promises of heaven, we pray that a mighty angel may be sent to each one of them. We think of those who are sick, O Lord. There are so many. We do not know them all, but we know that thou art their physician. And we have had brought to our attention this morning the case of our dear brother Ewing, who is here in the sanitarium close to us, and who in his extremity has asked that we remember him at this hour. O Lord, we do pray that the one who is the great physician will be near him at this moment. Dear Father, if it be thy will, in harmony with the glory of thy purpose in his life, wilt thou restore him to health and strength, to his family, and to his devoted labors in the cause of God. Hear us, we pray, in these our petitions. Bless us in this hour of worship. Remember us through the experiences which yet await us, and gather us an unbroken company in the eternal kingdom. For Jesus' sake, amen.
In the warfare that is raging for the truth and for the right, when the conflict fierce is raging with the powers of the night, God his people brave and true, may he then depend on you.
May the Lord depend on you.
Say, O Spirit, brave and true, and true, that he may depend on you. From his throne the Father sees us, angels help us to prevail, and our leader true is Jesus, and we shall not, cannot fail. Triumph crowns us, brave and true, and true, may the Lord depend on you.
May the Lord
depend on you.
Loyalty
is but his you. Say, O Spirit, brave and true, and true, that he may depend on you.
May the Lord depend on you.
Loyalty
is but his due.
Say, O Spirit, brave and true, that he may depend on you. May he depend on you.
this hour that is set aside for a devotional, we hope that this next song will be the prayer from each of our hearts. Closer to thee, my Father, draw me.
Closer to thee, my Father, draw me. Closer within thine arms enfold me, I seek a resting place.
Closer with the cords of love,
draw me to thyself above. Closer with love, thy sweet spirit draw me till I am all like thee. Quicken, refine, and wash and cleanse me till I am pure and free.
Our devotional service this morning will be led by Elder Fagel, the director and the speaker of Faith for Today.
We've been asked to confine the remarks made at the devotional services so as to allow as much time as possible for testimonies and prayer to follow. As a text for our thinking this morning, I'd like to refer you to Acts, the first chapter, verses 4 and 5. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized you with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. That promise, we know, was fulfilled to the disciples not many days hence, as the Holy Spirit was poured out upon them in a mighty way. And we're told that on the day of Pentecost, Christianity faced the world, a new religion, without a history, without a priesthood, without a college, without a people, and without a patron. She had only her two sacraments and her tongue of fire. The latter was her sole mode of aggression. But with that tongue of fire, she stepped out into an unbelieving world, a church that went forth conquering and to conquer. The modern church somehow works differently. We have the things that the early church lacked. We have our institutions, we have our materiel. Someone has well said that if God does not send down fire from heaven, there is always someone standing ready with a match. And it seems as if we are quite self-sufficient these days in comparison to the attitude of the early church. During the Dark Ages, at one time an offering was being taken up after a great service. Two priests were counting the offering. One allowed the money to run through his fingers and then turned to the other and said, "See, the church can no longer say with Peter, 'Silver and gold have I none,' for now she is rich." And the other one turned to him and said, "And no longer can she say, as Peter said to the lame man, 'Rise, take up thy bed and walk.'" Yes, despite the fact that Christ promised that we would see much greater things than he had ever done, the truth of the matter is that we see lesser things than he has done. Things that don't even compare with what he did. Our powerless condition somehow has caused us to compromise our goals and to compromise our aims. We've learned not to expect so much because we find that we can't do so much. I can't help but believe that it's exactly contrary to what Christ would plan for us. The other day I read a curious parable in verse that I believe quite beautifully describes what has happened to us. A fox looked at his shadow at sunrise and said, "I will have a camel for lunch today." So all morning he went around looking for camels. But at noon he saw his shadow again and he said, "A mouse will do." Some of us have come to exactly the same place. Expecting great things and looking for great things, we have discovered that we did not have the power to receive the great things and do those things we wanted to do, and we therefore have lessened our goals and our ambitions. Without the power of God's Spirit, our message today is hollow and empty. And unless we as workers for God are filled with the Spirit of God as we go forth in our ministry, we need expect little. The churches of the world about us have compromised their teachings. They're not upholding truth as once they did. Their message might be well compared to the message of the St. Louis weatherman, who a little time ago, Harry F. Walgren was his name, gave what he called, rather laughingly, a long-range weather prediction. He said, "There will be days that will be fine and foul. There will be days that will be cold and hot. There will be weather that will make you sad, and there will be weather that will make you sing. On each day, if it doesn't rain or snow, the weather will be clear." Much of the Christian church's message today is about as empty as that, says as little as that, because we lack the power to give us what we really need to go before the world. There is only one thing that can change us. There is only one thing that can take the church out of mediocrity and give it the power of Jesus Christ to go before a needy world and to win sin-sick men and women to the cross. The heathen, in their own way, recognized what that was. They used to feel that a fire that had been lit by a sunbeam was much better to be used because it was purer and finer to be used on their altars than a coal which they took from their own hearths. In their own way, they expressed a great truth. For it's only as we have the fire that comes from above, only as we have the fire which only God can kindle, that we can accomplish what we want to accomplish for him. It's time to forsake the coals from our own hearths and plead with God for the fire from above. As we turn and look at how the Holy Spirit was poured out upon the early Christian church at Pentecost, we learn some rather remarkable lessons for ourselves. I have often wondered how I would have planned to have had the Holy Spirit come to this earth at Pentecost if God had allowed me to do the planning. I think I probably would have chosen an occasion of a great gathering where God's people were gathered in a large place. That would have been an ideal time to pour out God's Spirit. God chose differently. He poured it out not in a church, but in a home. Undoubtedly to show that religion and faith can enter into every experience of life. I'm sure that I would have chosen a very good environment for the outpouring of God's Spirit, perhaps a quiet, restful place where one could feel that God was near. God chose a city, a hurrying, bustling city, undoubtedly to show that no matter what environment we're in, the Holy Spirit can be given to us to help us in our labors for Him. I'm sure that I would have chosen to have the recipients of the Holy Spirit all upon their knees, with their faces perhaps raised up toward God, upturned toward Him, asking for help. I can almost see the picture in my mind. The Holy Spirit was poured out upon men as they were sitting in a home, not even kneeling, undoubtedly to show that posture is not important. Jesus prayed with His eyes open. No matter where we are, under what circumstances, the Spirit can be ours. Because of the prejudices that exist in the world, I might have chosen to have had the Holy Spirit poured only upon men, because women always have been a bit looked down upon as individuals to lead out in things religious. And that was especially true back in the days when the Spirit was given. The pious Pharisee, you know, used to go about from day to day and thank God that he was not born a woman, a leper, or a Gentile. Fine company for women to be in. And undoubtedly, I would therefore have chosen that the Holy Spirit be poured upon men. Christ poured it out upon men and women alike. I would undoubtedly have chosen men who were tried and true, men who were older in years and who had given every indication that they were individuals upon whom the Spirit could be poured safely, that they would not in any way ever bring disgrace to the cause of God. But the Bible tells us that it was poured out upon young men and old men alike, that the young men, the old men alike, had visions and dreams, and God led them by His Spirit. And because of the prejudices that exist everywhere in this world, I undoubtedly would have thought that my own language and my own race, whatever that might be, was the most important and therefore the one most highly favored, the one to whom God should give His Spirit. But we're told that they spoke with every language, breaking down all barriers of language and race. And so the Spirit of God has come to the world, showing us that it belongs to all men and to all climes, and every one of us who need it can have it in our ministry for Him. The Aeolian harp, named for Aeolus, the fabled Greek god of the winds, was a harp that was constructed at the mouth of a cavern. Various wires, strings were stretched in front of the cavern, and it was felt that the god of the winds could blow upon them and make his own music. I believe that such a harp ought to exist in the church today. For all of us are strings, shall we say, of various lengths and various qualities. But if the Holy Spirit blows upon us all, the music that we will give forth will not be discord, but will be unity. In bygone days here in the city of Washington, I'm informed that the streetcars used to run along on underground trolleys. One of the motormen one day was asked by a visitor for an explanation as to how it worked. And he said, "Why, when I squeeze this handle, I open the mouth that grips the trolley. When I want to go slow, I open the mouth that grips the trolley and it just touches it. When I want to go fast, it grips the trolley and I get all the power that's in the powerhouse." We call the first procedure skinning the wire. And as I read that, I wondered how many of us as workers for Christ are only just skinning the wire, not gripping it very, very firmly, just skinning it and getting only a little of the power that's there for us in our ministry for God. Brethren, as for me, I want the Spirit in my life. I know I need it. And I trust that you feel exactly the same. In closing, let me read you something from Acts of the Apostles, page 50. "The lapse of time has wrought no change in Christ's parting promise to send the Holy Spirit as His representative. It's not because of any restriction on the part of God that the riches of His grace don't flow earthward to men. If the fulfillment of His promise is not seen as it might be, it is because the promise is not appreciated as it should be. If all were willing, all would be filled with the Holy Spirit. Isn't that a wonderful promise? If all were willing, all would be filled with the Spirit. Wherever the need of the Holy Spirit is a matter little thought of, there is seen spiritual drought, spiritual darkness, spiritual declension, and death. Since this is the means by which we are to receive power, why don't we hunger and thirst for the gift of the Spirit? Why do we not talk of it, pray for it, and preach concerning it? For the daily baptism of the Spirit, every worker should offer his petition to God. The quartet's going to sing for us now, and after they sing, we'll have a short season of prayer, offering our petition to God for his Spirit. I'm going to ask Brother Roenfelt if he'll lead us in a short word of prayer. I'm going to ask Brother Nash if he will follow. And I'm going to ask Elder French if he'll offer the third and closing prayer. I'd like to request that the prayers be short because our time is limited and that then we have a time for testimonies. Let us ask God to come very near to us and pour out his Spirit in our lives. Let us bow as we pray.
Help us to realize, O God, that this gift is given primarily not simply to empower us for service, but primarily it is given to make us like Jesus Christ, our blessed Lord. We pray thee, our Father, that we may enter into that experience, that we'll have him living in our hearts and imparting to us his presence and his power, so that because he lives, we might live, revealing to this world his radiant, spotless, wonderful life, that life which in itself will be a mighty power for good among our fellow men. So our Father, forgive us our sins, cleanse us from all of our unrighteousnesses. By thy divine Spirit, O Lord, reveal to us those things that are still in our lives and characters, that are hindering things, that prevent the Spirit of God from possessing us as fully as he would. And, O Lord, we pray that we may be willing to turn from these things through thy power to have victory over them, so that we might be completely under the control of thy Spirit, and that Jesus Christ might be able to reveal himself to us in all of his fullness. And these things we ask in his name. Amen.
Our Father, we pause to honor thy divine presence. We're thankful to thee for this study that we have just had. We pray thee, our Father, that as we yield ourselves to thee, and as we surrender our hearts unto thee anew, that thou wilt draw preciously near unto us, that thou wilt give us the very blessing that we so much need. Our Father, we do long to so relate ourselves to thee, that thou canst see fit to fill us with thy Spirit and to use us to thy name's honor and glory. We've been struggling on, our Father, without the power that is necessary to do great things for thee. But now, our Father, we somehow desire in a very special way that we may grip all that is necessary for us to grip, thy promises and all, to the extent that thou canst fill us. We pray thee, our Father, that thou wilt cleanse us, that thou wilt draw us to one another and to thee, that thou wilt fully prepare us for those things that are before us. We pray that thou wilt bless us during this great Bible conference. We pray that we may all find higher ground in our Christian living, not only for ourselves, but that we may take it back to thy dear people that we represent. Hear us of these requests, for we ask it in Jesus' name.
Our most holy.
It would be very fitting if many of us took part in the testimony service. It has been suggested that since we seem to be able to hear those who offer prayer from the floor, undoubtedly we could hear the testimonies that are given also from the floor, particularly if you would raise your voice and perhaps turn a bit toward the majority of the congregation. I wonder if we couldn't have what we used to call sentence testimonies, so that many could take part, just a sentence or two, three at the most. And have many taking part this morning, expressing your desire to have the Spirit of God working in your life. Who will be first? Let's have many stand to their feet as we go along. Brother? Our God's Spirit, go with us, and may we all appeal for it in our daily devotions, for it's only with the Spirit of God that we can finish the work of God on the earth.
Number 206, the first stanza only. Number 206, Holy Spirit, Light Divine.
Once more, our Father, we thank thee and we praise thee for thy presence with us this morning. Accept these testimonies and these promises of faith and devotion to thee as coming from honest and sincere hearts. And now go with us, and may we have the presence of thy Holy Spirit at all times, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.